Division code 41. P division code 41.
Kissogram by Anne Downey, based on characters created by Peter Turnbull. Kissogram.
Gavin, Gavin, stop it. You know, feeling nothing. Gavin, no. Oh, somebody's coming.
Oh, come here. Where were we?
Don't, Gavin.
What's the matter?
It's like Sticky Hall Street in here. The world and his mother keep walking through.
Come on, then. We'll go to the back court.
It's freezing out there.
Oh, don't you worry. I'll keep you warm.
Stood in a stupid car.
No wonder. It's pitch black out here.
Just the way I like it. Oh. You want my jacket?
Oh, it's okay.
Come on. Find the bin shed. Here is the wind.
Very romantic.
Oh, what are you doing?
Fell over something.
Big feet. Chris, it's a body.
Oh, my God.
Missy, phone the police. There's a woman down here. I think she's dead.
Well, how's your curry?
Yeah, it's not bad, Elka.
I told you you'd like Parsi. It's very different. Have a bit of naan bread.
It's quite fruity, isn't it? Very tasty.
Thank God, I've weaned you off korma at last. Oh, no. Do you want to get that for me, Ray?
Will do.
Hello.
Hey? Yeah, it's me.
What?
Yeah. God. What, now? All right, okay, can't be helped. I'm on my way.
On your way where?
Townhead. Woman's body's been found in a back court. Looks like a 4-1.
Ray, you're not on graveyard shift.
Yeah, they're short-handed. Abernethy didn't come in. He's got this flu bug.
Oh, no. That's Hamilton and then King and now Abernethy?
Don't know who's none too pleased.
Well, they can't help being ill.
No, he thinks you should crawl in on your hands and knees. Look, I'd better leave the rest of this and get over there. If you stick it back in the container, I'll heat it up later.
Sure.
If I'm late, don't wait up for me.
Well, I won't be in bed before 2. The late night movie's got Mel Gibson in it.
Oh, well, I can't compete, can I?
I wouldn't say that.
Yes?
Good evening. Mrs. Boyd, is it? Police, Detective Constable King.
Oh, it's a terrible thing, eh? It was me that phoned you. Oh, see, if I don't get out of this place, I'll go off my feet. You might.
I was wondering if you'd heard anything unusual.
No, nobody heard me. Debbie screaming. Oh, the poor lass is no worth a fun. Oh, it would have finished me bad about it, I can tell you.
Were you in all evening?
Oh, aye. Oh, he'll no move his ass out of that chair. Oh, you're not writing that, do you, are you?
No.
Oh, no, what was his name? Oh, aye. That's why I took a dream to the back court myself. He'll no move.
So, when were you down there?
The night. That's what I'm saying.
If it had been me that found it, you'd have been taking away two bodies.
And what time was this?
Now, let me think now. Well, I seem to go down to the bin just after we'd had our tea. The rubbish was falling out the pedal bin. He wouldn't go because he wanted to see blind date. I says, God, I must have been blind the night I met you. Talk about a lazy date.
So you went down yourself then?
Aye. Well, I didn't have any ocean, did I?
So what time did you go down?
Well, Esther knows house party. I never miss that. I'm married to Mr. Bobby. He was trying to shove his beer cans in the pedal bin and broke the lid. That's the second one he's done that to you, cramming everything in. I saw Edda kill me. I'll enter the bloody thing with Ellis's and do not leave.
So that would be...
just before 9. He says, you can't go down the news, Dad. I could have been murdered in there for all you cared. I mean, I don't have to tell you what this place is like. You can't even let the guy who was playing the back court. There's huge needles everywhere, and the fence is all broke at the back. So if they told Dick and Harry to come in, they don't even need to come through the court.
Do you get people using it as access from Keir Street?
Access? Oh, that's a new one for it. Yeah. The hoers use it. They come in for the names sometimes. I've told your lot umpteen times, but it's just as open.
So, did you see anything when you went down?
Oh, thank God. Oh, if there'd been a body there, I'd have seen it, and you wouldn't have given me any sense to me than you, I can tell you.
I hope you're not coming down with this flu bug stuff.
No, it's the surgical spirit. Catches the back of the throat now and again. Occupational hazard. You're a bit undermanned, I hear.
About half strength at the last count. I'm just hoping we can manage to cope with this young lady.
Yes, it fairly puts your wee colds and coughs into perspective when you see something like this. Found in the small hours of this morning, I'm told, in a bin shelter.
Well, beside it, sir, yes. Dr. Chan attended the locust for the preliminaries.
Oh, well, I'm grateful for that. I think he estimates the time of death between 10:30 and midnight. And I wouldn't quarrel with that. And the hypostasis would suggest that she died very near where she was found. Certainly hadn't been moved any distance after death.
What about cause of death, sir?
Strangulation, I'm fairly sure. I'll need to do the usual tests, of course, but at this moment that would be my best guess. You can see for yourself, severe bruising around the throat. Choked to death, I'd say. Not some kind of ligature, bare hands. The finger marks are very clear. And from the spread, big hands, too. You haven't identified her yet?
No, sir. Seen her, crime boys found very little on her. Quite literally.
Yes, there's not much under the trench coat, is there? Not the sort of lingerie you buy across the counter at Mark's. I'd say she was in her early 20s. You may not get much further at the moment. At this point, I'd expect to be thinking about dental records, but she seems to have had no work whatever done on her teeth, no fillings or extractions.
I didn't think that was possible.
Well, she might well have had them coated with Fisher sealant, if you've heard of that.
No.
Well, it's not that uncommon. Strathclyde School dentists have been recommending it for years now with a pretty high take-up rate.
Well, that's no much help, then. The only lead we have, in fact, is a prayer leaflet, of all things.
Really? She's hardly dressed for church.
Well, it's the only thing she had. In her raincoat pocket, a leaflet from some monastery or abbey or whatever, somewhere near Perth. Cross Garden.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that. You drive past it on the scenic route to Dundee. Yes, well, that might be useful, eh? Not something these young ladies would normally carry in their pockets, I should think. Well, the other thing you might make some headway with, Sergeant, is here. You see? Inside of the thigh. Very discreet.
Tattoo. What is that, a butterfly?
It's good quality work, too. Main thing is, it's recent. Skin's still raised around the needle marks, which means it's been done within the past few days. No other needle marks, as far as I can see, which is a bit unusual.
Well, the tattoo should be a help.
Yes. Good. Well, I'll fax in a full report, probably early tomorrow.
I'd be grateful, Doctor.
Hey, you know, just looking at her, nice-looking girl, what, 20, 21? This is where she ends up. I was going to say, I wish these girls knew what risk they were taking, but I'm afraid they do.
So the Camley Street case is a confirmed 4-1.
Yes, sir, no question of it. Dr. Reynolds is sending up the forensic report tomorrow morning.
And meanwhile, we've got what?
Well, victim unidentified as yet. A female in her early 20s, medium height, black hair. When she was found, she was wearing a trench coat, and underneath that, a black bra, pants and suspenders. Some sort of fake leather material.
What, on the game, do you think?
Well, it's too early to say, sir. There was no sign of sexual assault, but we won't know anything more until Dr. Reynolds has completed his tests.
It'd be a fair assumption, though, wouldn't it, sir?
Kenley Street's right on the edge of the red light district.
Some of the neighbours were complaining about that, sir. Apparently they got a petition to try and force the landlord to install a closed entry system. Seems the girls are in the habit of taking their clients into the back close when the lanes are, in full production.
So she might well be a prostitute.
Well, that's how it looks, sir, but I'm not so sure. When they've got to be out on the street all night, they don't usually dress like that.
That's a fair point. And time of death between 10:30 and midnight, I see, after the pubs have cleared, at least some of them. Seen a crime find anything at the locus?
Well, they're still there, sir, but they haven't come up with much so far.
The two leads we have, sir. One is a tattoo on the girl's leg, a butterfly design, done very recently, according to Dr. Reynolds.
Right, Richard. You can take yourself round the tattoo parlours.
Yes, sir, I've drawn up a list of them.
The other thing is a leaflet that was found in the girl's pocket, stamped with the name of Crossgarden Abbey.
Yes. That's in Perthshire, isn't it?
Yes, about 4 or 5 miles out of Perth.
So, someone checking that out?
D.C. Montgomery's already on his way, sir.
Good.
Oh, and we've cleared it with Tayside.
Well, you hear that, Richard. Procedure.
Brother Rupert?
Yes?
Detective Constable Montgomery, Strathclyde Police. I phoned earlier.
Yes, of course. You made for a good time from Glasgow. Didn't expect you so soon. Let's talk outside.
It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah, it was lovely driving up. I forget how nice the countryside is around here.
May we offer you a bite to eat?
No thanks. I had some lunch before I left.
Just as well. I wouldn't recommend it unless you're mortifying the flesh. Well, let's sit here, shall we? And enjoy God's good air. Well, fire away, if you wish. It was about a young lady, you say?
Yes, she was found dead. Murdered. She had a prayer to St. Ignatius in her pocket. It had the stamp of your monastery on it.
God rest her soul. Mad Eddie. No one deserves that.
This is the leaflet she had.
Yes, we give out a lot of these. Ignatius is the patron saint of the abbey.
Who do you give them to?
Visitors. People who come here on retreat.
Brother Rupert, would you mind looking at a photograph? It was taken in the mortuary, I'm afraid.
I was a funeral undertaker before I became a monk. Poor lass.
Recognize her?
Yes, I do. She was here 2 weeks ago. Her name's Claire, I'm pretty sure. She wouldn't give her surname.
You're sure it's the same girl?
Positive. Well, we get very few young women staying here. She was quite distressed when she arrived.
Oh?
Well, I believe there was a history of domestic violence. Her husband was pursuing her and she came here for refuge. Brother Abbott advised her to go to the police, but I don't think she wanted to. She stayed in the abbey for about a week, then left.
Was she alone?
Well, she was here, yes. But a man came to collect her.
Description?
I really didn't get a proper look at him. Tall. Youngish, I think. He was driving a blue Renault. Yes, I remember that because my brother's just bought one.
Anything else you can remember?
No. But come along and meet Brother Abbott. He might be able to tell you more. And I'll rustle up some coffee.
Oh, hello there. I'm with a customer just now. Do you want a wee look at the pattern book while you're waiting?
I'm Detective Constable King. You're the owner here?
Yeah. Tony Andrews. Tony's Tattoos.
Do you do a butterfly design?
I most certainly do, sir. You look more like a cross daggers man to me, but have a look at what's available before you make up your mind. Take your time.
No, I'm sorry. This is an official visit. Do you recognise this girl?
Yes. She was here. Friday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's happened to her?
She was found dead.
None to do with me. I use fresh needles every time. She wouldn't get any infection here.
I just want information, sir. Nobody's accusing you. What time was she here on Friday?
2 o'clock. At least she had a 2 o'clock appointment. I was at the travel agent's booking up for a wee fortnight in Lanzarote. Well, you know what these places are like. Queue like an execution. I didn't get back here till 10 past. Thought I might have lost the business. But she was sitting outside in her boyfriend's car. Dead nice she was about it. His face was tripping him. Said he'd to keep driving away because the wardens were about.
Could you give me a description of this man?
Aye. He was a big fella. At least he looked big. Didn't actually see him standing up. About 27, 28. Powerful looking.
Yeah.
He could have been one of those guys on the telly. You know, gladiators. Sort of brownish hair. Kind of long. Like a lassie's.
And his car?
Blue. Aye, Rangers blue. A Renault, I think.
Did you get the girl's name?
Oh, I'll need to look in my book. Excuse me a wee minute.
Right.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Hull. Won't be long. Aye, here we are. 2 o'clock Friday. Miss Monaghan. Oh, in fact, I haven't even had a chance to put her cheque in the bank yet. There you go. Claire Monaghan. And our banks and steps.
I'll hold on to this if you don't mind. Anything else?
Aye. She phoned on Saturday morning to say her leg was a bit swollen, round the design. Well, I told her not to worry. Just a wee reaction happens sometimes. It goes down just as quick. She had a gig on that night, so I suppose she was a wee bit concerned.
A gig?
Aye, a 21st. She worked as a kissogram girl.
Can you remember where she was working that night?
No, she did tell me. You know how folk blether away, and I like to keep them talking. They're always a bit nervous at their first tattoo. Where was it now?
It's very important, Mr. Andrews.
The Belmont Hotel, that was it. I mind now, because my cousin had his silver wedding in there.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Andrews. You've been very helpful. I'll probably speak to you again.
Aye. Next time, pick a wee design. Special rates for the polis. I know you guys aren't supposed to display these things, but I'll put it where only your wife can see it. Okay.
Oh, sorry, sir. This bar's not opened yet. If you go outside and turn to your left, you'll find the public bar.
I see Montgomery, Strathclyde Police.
Oh? Is something wrong?
I've had a word with your manager. He tells me you were on bar duty here on Saturday night.
That's right. We had a function on, the 21st.
What time did you finish?
Oh, just after 11. We were licensed till 11, but you always get a few stragglers.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the kissogram girl that was here?
I did.
Had you seen her before?
Yes. Oh, she's been here a few times at different functions.
Did you happen to notice what time she left?
I can tell you exactly. 10 o'clock.
How can you be so sure?
Because one of the guests, in fact, the boy whose 21st it was, Spence was his name, he was trying to buy his uncle a drink. The uncle came over to the bar with his coat on to thank the boy for the party and all that. Anyway, the boy said it was only 10 o'clock and he couldn't leave. In fact, he got a wee bit aggressive, shouted, "Party pooper!" after the uncle.
Was the kissogram girl still here at the time?
Aye, she was just going out the door.
And the uncle?
Oh, he left minutes after. Said he'd had a busy surgery and he was shattered. I think he must have been a doctor. Why are you asking all this?
Because the kissogram girl's been murdered.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. I mean, she was only young. Who would do a thing like that?
It's okay, Mrs. Dunn. Just take your time.
I'm sorry.
Oh, thanks. Just put it on the table. Sugar and milk, Mrs. Dunn.
Just milk.
There you go.
Thanks, Mr. Tussock. Oh, I can't believe this has actually happened. I woke up this morning Not that I slept much. I must have dozed off eventually. The doctor gave me something that I woke up. And for a minute I thought, Claire isn't dead. I just dreamt it. And then it hit me. I didn't dream it. I really had gone to the mortuary yesterday. It was my poor wee girl lying there. My wee Claire. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Oh, how could he do this to her? He always said he couldn't live without her, so how could he do this to her?
Who are you talking about, Mrs. Dunn?
Claire's man. Her husband, Peter Monaghan. I told her she was too young to get married. They were only 18. But you know the young ones, you can't tell them anything. They've been going together since school. He was always a moody boy. He never hit her or anything then, when he was going out with her. Wish to God he had shown his true colours. I'd have moved hell and high water to stop them getting married. No, he was sly enough to wait. She tried to hide it at first. Said she'd walked into a door, you know, the usual.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I knew. I told her. You've no need to put up with it. There's a home for you here. Anyway, she stuck it for 2 years. Then she left him. Got a legal separation.
And she was staying with you?
Only for a wee while. He was never away from the door.
Peter Monaghan?
Aye. He kept pestering her. Wanting her to come back. Threatening her. I wanted to get the police, but she wouldn't let me. She left about 3 months ago to live in one of those refuges. You know, for battered wives.
What was the address?
Oh, I don't know. She wouldn't tell me. She said if I didn't know, then I could honestly tell Peter that I'd no idea where she was. She phoned me every weekend. She was getting on fine. She even had a new boyfriend.
What was his name?
Bill. Oh, that was all she told me. Oh, and that he worked with her. Drove her about or something. She said she felt safe with him around.
Where did she work?
Oh, it wasn't a very nice job. Kissograms. I couldn't believe it when she told me. Said it was all she could get. She hated going to the job centre. Said she found it demeaning. Then she takes a job like that. Oh, what a waste. Our Claire was better than that. Clever too. Good at English. She could have made something of her life if it hadn't been for Peter. Peter!
Don't upset yourself.
Have you arrested him?
We're just pursuing inquiries at the moment, Mrs.
Don't let him get away. He threatened her umpteen times. I'm a witness. Oh, I wish to God I'd reported him. She wouldn't let me. She never wanted any trouble. I shouldn't have listened to her. If the police had arrested him, she'd be alive now.
That must be it over there, the building on the left.
Here we go then.
Papa Tango India to control. I'm at 23 Lochside Avenue Steps, Strathclyde Refuge, in pursuit of inquiries. DC Montgomery in attendance. Over.
Control to Papa Tango India. Roger, your location. Out.
Sure you haven't come back too soon, Richard? You're still looking a bit wobbly.
Oh, I get fed up lying in bed, sir.
Well, just as long as you don't smit us all. Anyway, you know we have a positive ID now on the back court case.
Yes, sir. I believe D.S. Sussex just finished interviewing the mother.
Come. Oh, well, any joy, Ray?
Yes, sir, I think so. The deceased was married to Peter Monaghan. They were married for 2 years and she left him because of marital violence. Eventually went to live in a home for battered women.
Oh,
yeah. Mrs. Dunn was a witness to Monaghan's threats and I'm just going to pick him up now, sir. Apparently he lives with his widowed father in Govan.
Has he any previous?
No, sir.
Right, go with him, Richard.
Yes, sir.
Is Montgomery back yet?
No, sir. I think he and WPC Rollins are still checking out the women's refuge.
Okay, on you go. But just watch your step with Monaghan.
Oh, Jason,
I can't
hear where the man's been.
It's all right, son. I just want to talk to your mummy.
Where? Excuse me a minute. Come on, son. Oh, Jason. Margaret, when you take him in the stairs, you're my best kid, are you? I'm sorry about that.
His cheeks look red. Is he breathing?
Oh, it's no laugh.
I'm sorry. What were you saying?
The warden tells me you were friendly with Claire Monaghan.
Am I? I was her pal in here.
She's great with Jason. The only man that could get him to Tom Green. I can't believe she's dead. It's no heel.
Where were you the day her husband called?
I went running to get the warden. She threatened him with the police if he didn't shift. And he wasn't shouting or nothing. Just saw him kind of quiet and tense way. He's frightened somehow.
What did he say?
Told me to get lost. It was between him and Claire. I just stood my ground. She didn't say anything for me. She was terrified. I could see that.
Did he threaten her?
Aye. They found out she had a boyfriend. He's gone pure mental. Said he'd kill her if he saw her with another man.
He actually used those words. He'd kill her.
Aye. As God's my judge.
When did you last see Claire?
The day she left here. But 2 weeks ago. The day after her ex turned up. She said she had to get away.
But did she stay where?
Some Abbey in Perth. She was quite holy, you know. Went to mass every Sunday and all that. Didn't they like to hear you swearing or nothing? Decent lassie. I can't believe he did this to you.
Well, we don't know that he did.
Well, I'm telling you that he did. You don't need to be a detective to figure that out.
We're just pursuing inquiries at the moment, Mrs. Lawson.
Pursue all you like. But you don't need to look any further. I've got one just like him. Living in my house. Sitting in the furniture I worked and paid for. So believe me, I know.
So you're saying the last time you saw your ex-wife was when you called at the battered women's refuge on 23rd of February. Is that correct, Mr. Monaghan?
That's right.
And you threatened to kill her on that occasion.
I didn't mean it.
But you don't deny saying, you've met somebody else, haven't you? If I see you with him, I'll kill you.
You say these things, but you don't mean them. I loved Claire. I couldn't hurt her.
Well, Mr. Monaghan, it appears you could. You did use physical violence against her on a number of occasions.
I just lost my temper. I hated myself for it afterwards. I'd never have hit her when I was sober, honest, Inspector. That last time, when I saw what I'd done to her face, I was ashamed of myself. I haven't touched a drop since. I thought if I could convince her I was off the drink, she'd have me back. Some hopes. One of her pals, wee Eleanor, she never liked me. Anyway, she told me Claire was seeing somebody else, that I was wasting my time.
And you called at the refuge to tell her you would kill her.
I didn't mean it. I loved her. I'm telling you, I couldn't get over her, but as God's my judge, I never killed her. I was crazy. I was talking rubbish.
And is it possible you were crazy on the night of Saturday, the 5th of March, Mr. Monaghan?
I've told you I was out with her lassie that night.
But you can't give me an address or telephone number for this girl, who you say will corroborate your statement.
Because I don't know it. I met her at a disco, Victoria's, on Friday. We went out to the pictures on Saturday, saw Stargate. I asked her if I could give her a ring, see her again, like. She didn't have a phone, so she said she'd contact me. Her name was Gillian Black, that's all I know. I never even found out where she lived.
Did she tell you where she worked?
She was unemployed.
Well, we'd better hope for your sake, Mr. Monaghan, that this Gillian Black gets in touch with you.
Fancy a spot of lunch? I'm starving.
Nah, I've still got these reports to write up. I'm rushing. Thank you.
Ah, Montgomery.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir. If these prostitutes that operate near the Cairn East Peak Locus, have you questioned any of them yet?
Yes, sir. DC King and I get through most of them between us, I think.
And?
Well, they're a bit edgy, sir. Couldn't get much out of them. This murder's put the wind up them.
Oh, good. They'll maybe move their pitch. Uniform boys have been having a hard time with the residents. They're seeing this as the last straw. Mrs. Boyd, you've interviewed her, I believe.
That's right, sir. She was the one who reported the crime.
Yes, well, she's got a petition going demanding a clean-up job. Local MPs jumped on the bandwagon. No one misses a photo opportunity, of course. Anyway, I'm being pressed for a result. So where are we? What about these prostitutes?
Well, I'm afraid they couldn't help much, sir. All they said was that business was very slow that night. There was a bitter cold wind.
Yes, well, I suppose it would cool your ardour.
Four, six, blown up here, Jackson.
One of the girls, Liz Sim, said a bluey-green car stopped, but when she moved towards them, he drove away.
Well, I'm not surprised. She's a cokehead, that one. Out of her box most of the time.
Did you get a look at the driver?
Said he looked oldish. She couldn't be specific. She's not reliable, sir. Mm. She also said she saw a couple standing in Cairn Lee Street, just looking down Cairn Lee Lane. She shouted at them to get lost, and they eventually moved away.
Description?
No. All she could tell was it was a man and a woman. Nobody else saw anything.
She'd be hallucinating, she normally is. Oh, excuse me, sir. Hello? DC Montgomery? Yes? You can indeed, Mr. Morton. I will, yeah, he's here. Sir, it's Peter Morton's father on the phone. Says he can prove his son's innocence. He wants to have a word with you.
One gin and tonic. Enjoy it, Elka, that's the last. The fresh air of tonic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks.
I'd offer to go and get more, but it's passing down.
It doesn't matter.
You all right?
Sure.
You seem preoccupied.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. I was just thinking about those women.
Which women?
Those battered wives. Living under siege, I suppose you could call it. What an existence.
Well, it's good there are places for them to go.
I know. It's just a pity they're necessary.
Well, at least nowadays women won't take it. In the bad old days, they just put up with it.
It just makes me so angry. I don't understand people. Why don't they take time to get to know one another before rushing into those kind of marriages?
No, I don't think you ever really know anybody who you are married to them.
Or living with them?
No, not even then, I don't think. If you haven't made any kind of legal commitment, either of you can walk away at any time. But I think if you care about somebody and you want to keep them, well, you try that wee bit harder.
So I'm not seeing the real you.
Well, my wife would probably say no, you weren't. I mean, there's a prime example. I didn't realise what a shrew she was until I married her.
It's frightening.
Works both ways. I'm sure I'm not seeing the real you.
What you see is what you get.
I don't believe that. They're all of our veils.
You know me better than anyone.
Maybe, but you're still wearing a few.
Okay. Why don't you come over here and lift them?
That's the best invitation I've had all night.
Damn. Hello? Yes, he is, Inspector. Hold on. Ray, don't go in. Tell him you've got that flu bug.
Yes, sir. Oh, she did. Oh, well, so you've let him go. Back to the drawing board. I will. Yes, sir. 9 o'clock, thanks. Night, sir.
Trouble?
We've had to let Peter Monaghan go. He wasn't up here. His alibi turned up.
But you don't have to go in tonight?
No, he wants a meeting first thing tomorrow. So, tonight I'm all yours.
Wonderful. There's something I want you to do.
Name it.
My washing machine's on the boat. Do you think you could have a look at it?
We're looking again at the Locust, sir. As you know, it borders on Cairn Lee Lane, which is used by some prostitutes.
Yes.
Both Scotia Support Systems and Capital Office Furniture have installed security cameras there in the last month.
Yes. Used condoms on the doorstep weren't exactly conducive to business.
Yes, sir. We're trying to eliminate the cars that stopped there on the night of the murder.
Claire Monaghan wasn't on the game. She was a kissogram girl.
Maybe she was an enterprising amateur, sir.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Remember, there was access to the Locust from the back green. She may have come there with a boyfriend, like
the young couple who actually discovered the body. And there was no sign of a struggle, remember. She seems to have been caught unawares.
But why choose that area? You know, so close to the red light district.
I don't know. Voyeurism, possibly. And about the boyfriend, what's his name?
Bill Welsh, sir. We did speak to him earlier, and the London boys had a word with him at our request. He's down there at some bodybuilding contest. He'll be back tonight.
Dr. Reynolds did say whoever had strangled the girl used considerable force.
No, Richard, we must not jump to conclusions. We've already fallen into that trap with her ex-husband. Anyway, check up on Welsh when he gets back. Meanwhile,
Ray, I thought we'd talk again to the manager at the Belmont. The barman on duty that night, James Quinn, and the boy who's 21st it was, David Spence. DC Montgomery's following up a lead with the boy's uncle, John Spence. His rover was seen at the Locust, picked up by the video cameras.
Maybe Liston wasn't tripping after all.
Right. All of you, get to it, and this time don't jump to the most obvious conclusions. Just because the Peter Monahans of this world have a reputation, it shouldn't stop you going over everything with a fine tooth comb. Our Pep's still out there.
Would you like to start your confession?
Yes. Yes, Father, I must. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It is 2 weeks since my last confession. I accused myself of...
Yes. Go on.
I'm not sure what to say.
Well, don't be afraid, my son. Our blessed Lord is a forgiving God. He knows and sees all things.
That's right, Father. He does. That's what I told her. He knew she was in a state of sin. Lascivious dressing is an occasion of sin. Isn't that right, Father?
Yes. Yes, it can be. If it arouses us in an improper way. Is that what you're confessing? That you were aroused in an improper way?
We all were, Father. Every man there. But I saved her immortal soul, Father.
Well, perhaps you should begin at the beginning, my son. Then I might be able to help you.
What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his immortal soul? That's what the Bible says.
Is your soul troubled? Why don't you tell me what it is? What is it you wish to confess?
Which is worse, Father? The death of the body or the death of the soul?
Well, the body is temporal. It turns to dust. The soul is everlasting.
So it is right to kill, if you save the everlasting soul.
The gift of life is precious, my son. It is never right to take it away.
Ah, but what about war?
Well, yes, of course, in a just war, it is acceptable.
And the war against sin is a just war, isn't it? You see? I showed her the consequences of sin. The slippery slope which leads to eternal damnation.
I think you're misunderstanding me. Why don't you make a good confession and then we'll...
It's all right, Father. There's no problem. Nothing to confess.
Please, wait a minute.
There you go, boy. That's the worst of it over. Just finished dressing it. That was a nasty one, eh, Rex? Damn. Hold on, boy. Yes, Betty. Oh. What do they want? Any patients waiting? Oh, she's cancelled, has she? Okay, I've about half an hour before Mrs. Watson's cat. Just show them into the office, will you? I'll need to clean up.
Hello, I'm John Spence. Sorry to keep you waiting. What can I do for you?
I'm Detective Constable Montgomery, and this is DC King. We wanted to ask you a few more questions about your nephew's 21st.
This is about that kissogram girl, isn't it? I already gave a statement. She was at the party, yes. She'd been hired by some of my nephew's friends. I saw her, same as everybody else did. She came in, did her piece, and left.
Your nephew said you left just after her?
To tell you the truth, David was hardly in a fit state to see anything. I brought him a bottle of 21-year-old port and he drank the best part of it while I was there.
The barman confirmed the time you left.
Mr. Spence, what was your car doing outside 23 Kearney Street on the night of Saturday the 5th of March?
Look, there must be some mistake.
That is your Green Rover outside.
Well, there's no mistake, Mr. Spence. It was picked up by the security cameras. You drove up, stopped briefly, then drove away again. Why?
That's where the girl's body was found. My God, you don't think that I did it? No, you're wrong, Mr. King. I couldn't do anything like that.
Why did you stop there?
Just a minute. Listen. My wife mustn't find out about this. You won't tell her, will you?
Tell her what, Mr. Spence?
I was thinking about going to a prostitute. I've done it before. Only once. I know it's dreadful. Degrading. My wife found out, she'd leave me. But she's such a high flyer, you see. She's a marketing manager, travels all over the world. She was in New York that week, in fact. That's why she wasn't at the 21st. And when she gets home, she's tired all the time. Sex is the last thing on her mind. Are you married, Mr. King?
Yes.
Well, you can understand. I'm not a pervert or anything. We all have needs. I could have an affair, I suppose, but I love my wife. I thought if I go to a prostitute, there's no involvement. You know what I mean? Pays your money and you... Well, you know.
Did you see Claire Monaghan, the kissogram girl, after you left the party?
Well, I...
The truth, Mr. Spence.
Yes. Yes, I did. I gave her a lift. Her driver had left without her, and she only had that scanty outfit on under her coat. The poor girl was shivering. She was trying to hail a taxi, so I offered her a lift.
Why didn't you tell us this before?
Well, I thought if I told you, I'd given her a lift. It would be misconstrued. I've got nothing to hide as far as she... Look, I had nothing to do with her death. I dropped her off at an address in East Kilbride, her boyfriend's house, I think.
So what time would that be, sir?
Just before 11.
And what did you do after that?
Drove straight home, had a nightcap, went to bed. That'd be around 11:30. I'd had a busy surgery and I felt pretty tired. That's why I left the party early.
Is there anybody that can verify you were at home?
No, I don't think so. As I say, my wife was in New York.
Well, Mr. Spence, I'll have to ask you to accompany me to the station to assist further with our inquiries.
Let's keep it, Miss Guy.
Maybe the bell's not working. I don't think anybody's in.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Mr. Welsh. I'm Detective Sergeant Sussex, and this is WPC Willems, Strathclyde Police. You're Mr. Bill Welsh.
Yeah, that's me. Sorry, I fell asleep in the chair.
We'd like a word.
Look, I'm a bit shattered. I'm just back from London. I talked to your boys down there.
This won't take long, Mr. Welsh.
You better come in.
Thank you.
So, you caught him yet?
We're still pursuing inquiries. Mr. Wells, you're hired by the Live Greeting Company to drive the kissogram girls to and from their bookings. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you delivered Miss Claire Monaghan to the Belmont Hotel on the evening of Saturday the 5th March?
That's right, the 21st.
You were supposed to wait and drive her home afterwards?
Yeah.
And did you?
No, I left.
Can I ask why, Mr. Welsh?
Because we had a fight. Well, more an argument, really. We had a few rows. Claire was very possessive, you know. Did my head in at times.
What were you arguing about that night?
It's about Louise.
Louise?
Yeah, Louise Carr. We've been training together for... We're bodybuilders, you see. We've really got to train regularly when we're at competition standard. Well, Claire didn't believe it was just training sessions. She thought there was something going on between us.
And was there?
No, there wasn't. Not then, anyway.
But there is now.
There's no law against that, is there?
Mr. Welsh, tell me your movements on the night of the 5th March.
As I see, I drove clear to a gig with a really big row because I said I was going over to Louise's to train. With these semi-finals coming up in London, you see. Louise's room down out in her house as a gym. It's brilliant. Anyway, I was really pissed off with Claire. She gave me a lot of hassle in the way. She went on and on about Louise.
So, you didn't wait for her?
No, I thought, to hell, that's for a game of soldiers. She can get a taxi. I mean, I feel pretty bad about it. If I'd waited on her, she might still be alive.
Yes, Mr. Welsh, she might.
Where did you go after you left the Belmont Hotel?
Oh, straight to Louise's house over in Pollockshaws.
At what time?
About 9:45.
And what time did you leave?
Sunday night.
You stayed over?
Yeah, well, it was the first time. You know, I didn't mean to. In fact, I shouldn't have had with a competition coming up. I'm a bit like boxers. I was supposed to.
Is there anyone else can verify that you stayed there?
Aye, Louise's sister Karen. She came in from a disco and found us out.
And what time was that?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, who keeps track of time? It was early in the morning. It must have been. Karen got the night bus, so be either just before 2 or just before 3.
And you were at Miss Carr's flat the whole time?
Yeah, the pizza boy will tell you. I paid him at the door. It wasn't for me. It was for Louise.
Mr. Welsh, do you ever drive a red Escort?
No, it's a Renault I've got.
One of your neighbours was walking his dog past your house in the evening of 5th March, and he saw a young woman answering Claire's description getting into a red Escort. That was around 11:30.
Claire didn't drive.
Do any of our friends own a red Escort?
No, I know of. Could have been a local taxi.
No, we checked that out. None of them use Escorts. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Welsh. You've been very cooperative.
That's okay. I want this bloke caught as well. Claire was a nice girl. And it's too good for these people. Who's her mother taking it?
Pretty badly, as you can imagine.
Well, we'd better be on our way.
It's terrible, something like this.
Oh, one other thing. Is that your Renault outside, the blue car?
Why?
Did you drive Miss Monaghan up to Cross Garden Monastery 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, that was stupid. That was Quinn's idea.
Quinn?
Yeah, the barman the bell went to tell. He talked her into going there. Bit of a religious nut, if you ask me. Did he tell her kissograms were next door to being a prostitute? Claire was daft enough to listen to him.
Oh?
Yeah, she's going to chuck in her job. I said, where are you going to get easy money like that? Dale Quinn to mind his own so-and-so business. Anyway, she must have, because she stayed on.
There you are, blessed mother. A new candle. Holy Mary, conceived without original sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Blessed Mother, pray for the soul of poor Claire Monaghan. Pray that through my intercession she has escaped the fires of hell. I showed her what she might become if she gave in to the temptations of Satan and all his work and pomps. But God forgive me. I was aroused by her lascivious dressing. Blessed Mother, help me to put these bad thoughts away. They blacken my eternal soul. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I delivered her from evil. I delivered Claire Monaghan from evil, Blessed Mother. Intercede to thy divine Son on behalf of a poor sinner. He who changed water into wine at your request will surely grant that Claire Monaghan will cease to languish in purgatory. Pray that the expiation of her sins is complete and that she will be united with thy Son among the cherubim and seraphim and all the choir of angels in the kingdom of heaven forever and ever. Amen. Charlene McEwen.
Yes?
Police, can we have a wee word? We're vocated with your manager.
Sure, anything to get away from stocktaking.
You work part-time in the bar here?
Look, if it's about the murder of that kissogram girl, I can't help you. It was James Quinn in the bar that night.
The manager was telling us Quinn just resigned.
Yeah, did you not hear me cheering?
Didn't you like him?
That's an understatement.
Apparently he didn't give any notice, just quit. You know any reason why? Was he in any sort of trouble?
No, I'm just glad to see the back of him.
Oh?
Yeah, he gave me the creeps. Talk about a holy Joe. I'm glad he's left.
Why? What did he do?
Oh, he was just a creep. I was sick listening to him going on and on about my skirt. Mini skirt, you know. I said, it's got nothing to do with you, Jim. The manager's quite happy and I take my orders from him. Anyway, the customers like it. Know what he says? That's because it appeals to their baser instincts. I says, oh, get a life.
Your manager was saying Miss Monaghan had been here at other 21st. Were you working on any of the other nights when she was booked as a kissogram?
Yeah, twice, I think. She never seemed the type. She always looked a wee bit, well, sort of affronted.
Did James Quinn ever have a conversation with her?
Oh, aye. He was all over her.
Really?
I mind one night. It was just after the New Year. And we'd a rugby crowd in. I mean, I'm broad-minded, but they were right out of order. They gave her a hard time. She's one of these sexy French maids' outfits on. You know, the fishnet tights, wee frilly apron, all that kind of gear. Anyway, one of them made a grab at her, ripped the front of her blouse. Quinn took her through the back. She was really upset. I heard them offering to run her home. Lucky for her, her driver was outside.
Lucky?
Oh, God, aye. Imagine letting Quinn see you home. Talk about the frying pan.
Well, do you think he was a ladies' man, then?
Oh, aye, he wishes. With a bag over his head. No, I'm telling you, he's a creep. The type that tells you your short skirts are disgusting, but his eyes are on stalks. I think he was a pair, to tell you the truth. I used to see him eyeing me up.
Did you see him speaking to Miss Monaghan at any other time?
Yeah, the next time she was in, about 3 weeks ago. He was bending her ear. I heard him telling her she should go on retreat. I think he fancied himself as a missionary or something. Just because he was some kind of monk at one time.
He was a monk?
Aye, or something like that. Here, do you think it's something to do with the matter?
We're pursuing a line of inquiry, that's all.
Oh, I wouldn't put it past him. He was a right weirdo. Gives me the creeps just to think about him.
Dear Donahue. Oh, yes, Ray. Search warrant. James Quinn, remind me again. Oh, yes, the barman. Was he? I see. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, all right. As long as it's something more than gut feeling. Yeah. Right, I'll get it underway.
Hell's teeth. What's this like, Sass?
Shut the door, Richard.
Yeah, the landlady was right. She said he'd fixed up his room at a minute of time.
She's not kidding. Statue of the Virgin Mary. Christ on the cross. That's the Salvador Dali, isn't it? And who's this?
No idea.
Hold on. Name's at the bottom. Ignatius Loyola.
That's the saint on that monastery leaflet. Yeah, interesting. Hell of a tidy guy, Quinn.
Yeah, I bet he even irons his socks, starches his underpants.
Well, Mr. Quinn.
What, have you found his stash of hardcore, sir?
That's just exactly what it is. Yeah, take a look at these.
My God, that's heavy stuff. Doesn't quite fit with the guardian of public morals, does it? Mind you, it's the same obsession, basically.
Sex on the brain, yeah.
Montgomery will be kicking himself if he's missed this.
There's dozens of these magazines. Look at this. These pages are flashed. I think this boy's got a serious problem and we'd better find him. Mrs. Lee!
What now, Sarge?
See if the landlady has any idea where he's gone.
She said he was going away for a few days. Something about a spiritual retreat. She didn't know where.
Come on, let's go. I've got a pretty good idea.
And at last, almost consumed and going in the sea are lost. So perish souls which more choose men's unjust power from God claimed than God himself to trust.
Brother Rupert?
Yes, gentlemen, I'm sorry. My turn for the reading today. I saw you both waiting patiently. Mr. Montgomery telephoned. You're still pursuing inquiries in the death of Claire Monaghan, God rest her soul.
Can you confirm that you have a James Quinn staying here at the moment?
Yes, poor man. He's a deeply troubled man. Won't see why, though. Well, confidentiality is part of our rule here, so we wouldn't press him. The worrying part is that he's refusing to join us for meals. Brother Abbott insists he should take at least bread and water.
Brother Rupert, this is important. Where is he now?
Upstairs in his room, as far as I know. He does nothing but fast and pray. Shall I show you up?
Please.
I wouldn't worry about him. Some people come here with the wrong idea. Self-chastisement, mortification of the flesh, that sort of thing. If you'd like to come this way.
Yes, that's better. This is higher. This will hold with any luck. Yes, it will hold.
Forgive me, Lord, for returning your precious gift of life. Brother Philip says it is never right to take away life. A theological discussion. I have offended thee, Lord, and I fear I may continue to offend. I can't put them from my mind, Lord. I can't. Those women, I can't. This is the only way. I'm ready. Ready now. The belt must be tight. A good act of contrition. Forgive me, O Lord. I sincerely repent my sins against thee, because thou art so good. Say but the word of my soul shall be healed.
Mr. Quinn?
No! Go away.
Mr. Quinn, it's Strathclyde Police. Open the door.
Into thy hands I commend my spirit.
Oh, merciful God, he's hanged himself. Grab his legs, man. Quick, lift him up.
Go on, sir.
He's alive. He's still alive. Oh, thank God. Thank God.
Yes. Yes, he isn't. And somehow, I don't think Mr. Quinn is going to share your sentiments.
In Kissogram, the part of Sharon was played by Maureen Carr, Monaghan by Raymond Short, Mrs. Boyd by Irene Santos, and D.S. Sussex by Jake Darcy. W.P.C. Elka Willems was played by Eliza Langland, D.C. King by Liam Brennan, D.I. Donahue by Crawford Logan, and D.C. Montgomery by Stuart Macquarie. Brother Rupert was played by Derek Anders, Tony by Stephen McNichol, Mrs. Dunn by Grace Glover, Mrs. Lawson by Donalda Samuel, and Spence by Mark Coleman. Dr. Reynolds was played by Paul Young, and James Quinn was played by Russell Hunter. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Kissogram was written by Anne Downey and directed on location in Glasgow and in our Edinburgh studios by Hamish Wilson.